C1S. Number 29B.
Now, if the teaching is, since Kimball, that this principle must be, and God must be understood through its ideas, and we don't know what ideas are, then we still are on the level of belief in oneness. So, can you see what happened in the long term? First, in the period of argumentation, there was a belief in your own arguments of positive statements and negating. Then in the Kimball period, it was the belief in ideas. But it was a belief because they didn't state ever correctly what ideas are. Then in the Bicknell-Young period, it was a belief in oneness, because that oneness was not explained through its infinite ideas. So we can quite see where the new development had to come in. Now, if I say these things, I'm not going to criticize Bicknell-Young or Kimball. No, they were calibers of the greatest magnitude. I just show them because we are looking at the history of ideas and not at the history of people. And every one, personal revelators have its proper place, and every personal revelator merits its greatest regard for what he has been doing in his period. But that does not say that we have to hang back to it, but that we have to go forward. Now, this is the point where Mr. Dawley took up the thread. He accepted everything that the Bicknell-Young school taught, but he filled in those points where the Young school was lacking. Namely, he accepted that being is one, that we must go out from principle and not from a situation, that all reasoning must be from God, that God must be understood through its idea. But then came the main point and said, but by heaven's sake, what are ideas? Because he went through all that time, right in the Kimball period and afterwards, where he could see that I remember so well how he told us those incidents in the members' meeting when they were building a new church, that people were talking about the idea of the curtain, and the idea of the desk, and the idea of the organ, and the idea of the chair, and the idea of the staircase, and I don't know what. Everything was idea, you see. Well, this was a great step forward when he asked himself that right question, by heavens, no, who tells me what ideas are? Up to that, it was guessing. It was guessing what the idea of these material objects were, or the ideas which were behind this material object. So, science is always that which can put a new, good question. And he asked himself, what are ideas? And it was revealed to him that only a study of the synonymous term in the textbook, a very careful study, a study weighing up every sentence, every statement, could really reveal to him the nature of idea. So from that point on, we can see that we knew what ideas are. You see, it took therefore about 50 years since Mrs. Eddy for the first time in 1888 said, if you know the synonyms, then you have the basis for healing. It took about 50 years to find out what the synonyms were through that study of the ideas. So from that point on, it was possible, once that one principle as oneness has been analyzed infinitely in categorized ideas, namely ideas which have order, the four orders, which have levels of thought, like the levels of science and so on, that from that point on, oneness was not just science, but we had the science of oneness. Now, from that point on, we really could speak of the science of oneness. So for us, oneness is not science. For us, oneness is belief. Only then, when oneness is understood through its classified ideas, then oneness is a science, and then we have the science of oneness. From that point on, you can see that this must have changed the method of practice quite considerably. Because the moment you have an understanding of the idea, one has a different starting point from which to treat. You can see on the level of argumentation, well, they always went out from the problem. You first had a problem, then you could argue about it. On the level of Kimball, you always went out from the problem. You had a liver case. Then he said, well, the liver is a counterfeit of an idea. What that idea is, nobody knew. But it was a counterfeit of idea. But they went out from the problem, from the liver. In the period of Picknell-Young, it is the same. It is going out from the problem, from lack, and saying because there is only oneness, there is no lack. So lack becomes from them no lack. Death becomes from them no death. And so on, and how the terminology runs, which you have today still going on. So you see, up to that point, the healing was always starting from error, from the problem, and finding from the problem the way to the truth. Well, no science does that. In no science, one goes out from error to find truth. In a real science, we go out from the principle and reason from the principle to the true idea and see that the true idea resolves the problem, whatever the problem then is. And that is the completely new method that John Dolly brought into practice. That from now on, his practice would go out from the divine See, that his practice would be to put that problem first out of sight instead of drawing conclusions from it. He said, put it right behind you and turn right 180 degrees around and look into the infinitude of mind. And regard mind, what mind knows. Mind that knows only ideas. Now we know what ideas are. So now we can see that Jesus saw in science the perfect man. That in science now we begin to see from mind the ideas of mind, from spirit the ideas of spirit, from soul the ideas of soul. That's all what we are seeing. I mean, we are not seeing a liver case or anything like that. We are just seeing ideas. And these ideas begin to reveal to us the true universe. It interprets the true universe. And these ideas through divine mind reading. See, he was really the first one who used the divine mind reading as a method of Christian Science practice. That through the divine mind, that mind will reveal the error that needs to be destroyed. You see, that's quite different. Mind reveals what the problem is. Up to that problem, you said, this is the problem. Now, what is the truth about it? With the effect, naturally, that when you go out from the problem, that you are already fooled, because the problem never defines itself rightly. It never says what it is. Therefore, all reasoning from the problem, all treatment from the problem, is just metaphysical treatment. Just trying to go above matter, to the ideational. But it isn't healing the problem, the trouble, at the bottom of it. Only when we put the whole problem aside and go to the divine mind and let the divine mind reveal itself to us, what the divine mind knows about the case, then the divine mind reveals what is the trouble about it. And this is then certainly something very different than what the human mind calls a problem. Say, the human mind will call, say, a problem indigestion, and therefore might treat it as indigestion, but that is not the problem. The divine mind may reveal to us that it is a case of ingratitude. Well, indigestion and ingratitude is not the same. Another point. Now you can see the correlation with what's going on in medicine, namely that up to the point where we are not using the new method which John Dawley showed us, we are not dealing with men, but with the problem, with the body. We are healing the body. Only when we come to the higher sense of practice, which Mr. Dawley has revealed to us through the textbook, it's not his personal method, but the method of the textbook, but it has shown it that it is there, we begin to heal men and not the body. We begin, as in this case, say, to heal ingratitude and not indigestion. If we heal indigestion, well, the patient is very happy and says, thank you, now I can get on. But if we heal him of ingratitude, we heal him of something which is fundamentally wrong in his whole makeup and which once he has to solve anyway. So can you see that Mr. Dawley has not just elaborated something higher than the Young teaching, but that a complete mutation has taken place, namely a complete change of standpoint and aim of the practice. From that time on, naturally, then we can see that the Christian Science practice becomes something which we can only have if we know the synonymous terms. If we know the synonymous terms through its ideas and through the divine mind, let the divine mind reveal the error in the patient's thought that needs to be destroyed. It's now the belief that will be destroyed and corrected, and not the problem or the outward phenomena that is going to be corrected. Well, there is a few minutes left, perhaps just a few minutes, to see from where we have come and to where the way may lead. Namely, the method that Mr. Dawley has shown up to this point, and he has begun to touch on higher ones, is the method of Christian Science, on the plane of Christian Science. Of that plane of Christian Science, where through the knowledge and understanding of the seven synonymous terms, the error is being analyzed, uncovered, and destroyed. So that belief which made the patient sick is being corrected. But there is a higher plane which we know. We may not have yet demonstrated it, perhaps sometimes, but we know now in theory that the idea is going on, namely that above the level of Christian Science is the level of absolute Christian Science. That level of Christian Science which has not as its main aim to uncover the patient's belief, but absolute Christian Science is concerned with computing scientifically spiritual values, spiritual ideas, and that's that, and leaves it, so to say, at that, where our practice is not to go out from a single problem, but to go out from God and to demonstrate ideas, just to see what is the universe of ideas, how these ideas operate eternally and infinitely within the divine, infinite calculus ever going on. So, on that plane, we are not interested in any way in improving the human, but to destroy the belief in mortality in its essence. Therefore, we touch the preventive art of Christian Science and not so much the curing art of Christian Science. So, the more in our study, I put study into little hyphen now, into inverted commas, because it's more than study. The more, say, we imbibe the spirit of the synonymous terms from the subjective standpoint, the more those synonymous terms become natural to us, the more the ideas of the synonymous terms make up the whole rhythm of our being. The more they make up the rhythm of our being, the less mortality in its essence has any chance to come in and produce a disease. So we handle in that way the latent possibility of error to break out. We handle latent error. It's the preventive art. Even from that point, we know that the level of absolute Christian Science is not the highest level. That the level of divine science is even higher, and that our practice will have to go on to a higher level, more and more, to that level of divine science. The divine science where we not mainly are interested in seeing the infinite calculus operating in the infinite computation of ideas, but where we just see that the infinite one is only conscious of itself as life and truth and as love. So that there is only one consciousness being conscious of one life and one truth and one love. If we arise our consciousness, and sometimes we can that for some instance and so on, to see that the infinite only knows one life, then there is no necessity of considering anything which is destructive. If we see that there is only one truth, then we have the self-realization of that one truth, and all the truths, so to say, in the universe are already embedded into that one truth and are truth anyway. And so when we see that that one being is only conscious of itself as one love, we see that everything in the universe is anyway acting in the plane of divine love, and that there is never anything going on outside of that infinite plane of love. This is really the level from which Mrs. Eddy mostly was healing. You remember that how often she says that her most impressive healing and most instantaneous healing she accomplished just by that sense that God is all. But for her, all meant something much more than for a beginner. For her, that all was already filled naturally with the plane of Christian Science and with the plane of absolute Christian Science, because only then we can really embrace the level of divine science. There is no more that sense of computing ideas, of computing spiritual ideas scientifically. There is just the influx of divine truth, the influx of spirit as an all, so that the possibility, the mentioning, the suggestion of evil not even enters there. And that may lead us to the highest plane of science itself, to the highest plane of science itself, where we begin to see that really in science itself the term God, the term man, goes right out of the picture. We have no more to do with the belief. We have the vague concept of a God and the vague concept of a man. If that can go out, well, then we have no more a false concept of man, then we have no more a latent concept of a false sense of body, and then therefore we have no more a visible error of the body. If we can rise more and more to that point where we see only principle and idea is operating, then we don't think even anymore of me or of a man or of a person, and therefore no more of a body at all. Then we have really taken the kingdom as soul has taken and said, then I have found my asses anyway. I have taken them all. And so I feel the direction and the only chance we have to put science over to the world will be when we can show the world that we don't have a world of people and of material nature to save, but that we have a principle which expresses itself in ideas, and that that is all the universe there is. Then if the science of idea is being able to be seen clearly and presented clearly, that does away with the whole gamut of error, with the whole concept of a universe which needs to be saved. Then we arrive under that level of the I am, of the only I there is, of that I which says am. And there is no other am, no other being anymore going on but the being. Well, this is just showing where the development may go. It is not a personal view of mine, it is the scientific structure of being which shows us the way, because the structure is shown through these levels of science, and therefore it's quite impersonal. If I look into the future, then it's not my point of view, but it is the structure of being itself that is bringing, so to say, to our notice where the way is leading and what the next stage will be. Well, I have to leave you here.